Technorama episode 416 for November 5th, 2014. Karaoke Neptunes.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I think I left the keys for my Colonial Viper here on the counter. Have you seen them?
Over there, in the media corner.
Trick question. Vipers don't use keys.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Binary studio. I gotta get that in there somewhere.
19.
Like a bad CD. Binary Studio. Welcome to Technorama for November 5th, 2014. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama... Oh, wait. No, I have to do it like I did at Dragon Con.
Oh, no. Don't do that. It was creepy already.
If you're a returning listener, you know the drill. Welcome back. We appreciate giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm casual.
Casual?
Yeah.
Wait, you wearing the shorts tonight? You did put on pants for this show, I hope.
Shh. Don't ask questions you don't want to know the answer to.
Great. Also joining me in the Binary Studio this evening is...
Ben Ragginton.
Yay!
And there was much rejoicing. And also...
Brian Brown. I've been let out of the basement once again.
Yay. Thanks for letting me out in the daylight. Oh, it's not daylight, Chuck.
Well, if he was let out of the basement, I was let out of the closet. Bum, bum.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
We're going there again, apparently.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, because once was never enough.
I'm going to leave that one alone again.
Yeah. Leave that on the floor.
We have much to discuss tonight. Coming up in this episode, we have Nostradamus. How would he have known? Space smells and the windows that never was. Oh, too bad.
Hey, this is Crazy Joe. And this is Dave, hosts of Megapodzilla, the podcast equivalent to a 100-foot radioactive robot lizard. Nerdy. We're on the rampage, laying waste to the geek landscape.
We'll talk movies, TV, comics, toys, video games.
And sometimes we talk turkey.
Don't you mean chicken?
That's right. So check us out at Megapodzilla.com.
We're also available on iTunes and the Zune Marketplace.
Aw, yeah.
Hi, this is Edward James Olmos, Battlestar Commander Adama, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama. Don't forget, frack off.
Every time he does it, I always want to go...
Yeah.
That guy's got some serious throat gravel.
No, when he says that, I keep going, oh, he spoke to us.
Yes.
Squee! He told me to frack off.
What else would you expect from the man?
I know.
We have some feedback. I just like playing the music.
Yes.
Letters. Oh, we get letters.
Letters.
We answer letters every day. Mailman.
Reach right out and pull one out.
Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman.
Ding
dong.
By the way, that rip sound is the mailman's.
Not our trousers.
He's reaching into the bag.
Not the... We have feedback, and not only do we have the feedback, but we have the man who sent the feedback in the studio. So would you be so kind, Ben?
He said it 10 minutes before the show started.
Hey, I got something you can write down.
Yeah.
Now, this was in regards to, I guess there was some nerd rage that was going on in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater with some costume characters. Well, I'm going to read it exactly as appears in the feedback. Listening to latest episode about the costume characters in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater. There probably wasn't any con going on in the area. Those are professional cosplayers who work in front of the theater.
How do you get that gig? Professional cosplayer.
I don't know.
You basically buy a costume and stand out and beg for money.
Like one of those kind you get at Walmart?
Yeah. It's basically, think of you and Craig in the Atlanta Dragon Con Parade.
So is there like a cos pimp too?
Off season.
Actually, there is.
Sure.
Actually, but they're always there. And although the characters do change throughout the day, it's no surprise that there'd be so many characters as they were reporting the story. They basically hand out flyers.
For, you know, and they also sell for like, you know, maps of the houses of the home stars, you know, that sort of thing.
So it is a job, not the most lucrative. I mean,
so you get to see where Tony Stark lives?
Yes,
I mean, if I was getting a handout from Thor, I would want to know where the Iron One lives.
Thor's not going to be handing out Tony Stark's address.
But I mean, you know, and really what they are is they're probably, you know, want to be actors and actresses, you know.
Oh. Or they want to show off their cosplay skills.
Hey, everybody likes to eat.
So, you know, it's all about trying to make some kind of a break into Hollywood.
Okay.
Yeah. Would, if I were a scout, would I really be looking for?
You don't want to look at them.
No. Yeah.
Seriously,
that doesn't seem
really
like
bad.
The cream of the crop does
it
not isn't. Hang out.
Well,
in front
it depends
of
what kind of star scout you are. Oh, what level?
Oh, now I see where we're going.
If
yes.
you're Roger Corman, that's fertile ground.
Right.
Hey, you're pulling off that Spider-Man pretty well. Why don't you come with me?
We got a parody we want you to star in.
That's where I thought.
Yeah, moving along.
We also have a note from listener Scott, who's also on our Pathfinder gaming scheme.
Oh, yeah.
He said, hey, is it just me, or was there no live stream last week? And I had to apologize to him and say, no, we're still working on the video equipment in this studio and getting Craig hooked in and all this patched stuff. So Michael and I do have this on our project list, so we're getting there. Eventually, we will get the live stream up and running. Keep tabs on the Facebook Technorama page if you want to know more, because that's usually where I put my public-facing announcements and whatnot. So
technical difficulties, please stand by.
That's what we should put up on the live
really
feed,
should.
Craig.
Yeah, he sends that to his family.
Hey, man, I had to help my dad with Gmail on Mac Mail app twice this weekend on two different computers. Oh, I'm not going to go into it or we'd use up the whole show talking about the SMTP server. So, away with you, music!
Another letter from our listener, Dave.
Oh, I did that again.
What?
Shh.
On this day in history for November 5th, 2014, because this is the November 5th show. This is the 309th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 506 days remaining in 2014. It's
no,
Guy Fawkes Day.
There's 56.
What?
56.
What did I say?
506.
Oh, I had the 501st on the brain. That's what happened, because I saw 309th and went, well, where's the 501st?
Duly noted, sir.
I leaked. Parody error or something. It was on this date in 1605 that Guy Fawkes is arrested as part of the gunpowder plot. Craig's turn.
It's 119 years ago today. George B. Selden is granted the first U.S. patent for an automobile.
Brian.
Adolf Hitler holds a secret meeting and states his plans for acquiring living space for the German people on this date in 1937.
We need breathing room.
Earth, Hitler, 1938.
Well, 37, Captain, but that's okay. We'll forgive you because you're Kirk.
What? Star Trek get a fact wrong?
Never.
Never.
The computer library
Would you
off.
Be so kind?
November 5th, 2007, Android mobile operating system is unveiled by Google.
How dare they?
Mm.
Yeah.
And 1 year ago today, India launches the Mars Orbiter mission, its first interplanetary probe. Happy birthday goes on to this day to French meteorologist and climatologist Leon
Tesseract.
Yeah, we'll go with
Tesseract.
That. Yep. Tesseract. Born on this date in 1855. That's where the Tesseract was named after.
Right.
Yeah. And also born on this date in 1906, Fred Lawrence Whipple, American astronomer and academic and toilet paper salesman.
No, that was George Whipple. I knew you would do that.
American singer, guitarist, and actor Roy Rogers was born November 5th, 1911. That is, of course, you know, Roy Rogers of the Cowboy fame.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Indian English actress and singer Vivian Lee would have been 101 today.
101, really?
Yes, 101.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Oh, sorry. Oh, there's always tomorrow. No, what is this?
Tara. I'll go back to Tara.
Yeah.
Singer, songwriter, guitarist, and producer Ike Turner was born today in 1931.
And you may not know him, but Greek American computer scientist and academic Michael Drutzruz.
Easy for you to say.
Drutzruz, or whatever, was born today in 1936, and that's why we don't know him.
Star Trek Voyager's Quark actor Armin Shimerman is 65 today.
Clank!
Wow, he can retire finally. Yeah.
I was looking for that clip, that audio clip of the Negus going quack. I could not find just that clip. It was bothering me. Mm.
Canadian singer, songwriter, guitarist, producer, and actor.
Actor?
Since when? Bryan Adams is 55.
That's all right. They have Leonard Nimoy listed as a singer.
All right.
Well, technically, he did sing a song about Bilbo.
And how do you get to be an astronaut with a name like Alan G. Poindexter?
Wow.
You know he was going to go into some nerdy...
Somewhere.
He's like... that's.
It was predestination.
It's a family career or something. He would have turned 53 today. Darn it.
Hmm.
Craig?
Oh, wait. That's me. Hold on.
Yeah, the band left like 10 minutes ago. Come on.
And finally, computer scientist Marcus J. Raynham is 54.
Raynham? Barely knew him.
Oh,
and that's the way it was on this day in history for November 5th, 2014.
Hey, by the way,
that's called a coda.
Leonard Nimoy singing. I had Google Music going and with like a radio station going, and all of a sudden I heard a song voice and I'm like, that sounds like Leonard Nimoy, and it wasn't the Bilbo song. But it was another one.
No, he had another one. What was it?
The logical song.
What? Was that the B-side?
You need to go listen to that. I was like,
not the Super Tramp one, right?
No.
Yeah. No. No. Not the
when
logical
song. When I was
song.
Young, seemed that life was so wonderful.
Logical in the song, not logical song.
That's highly logical.
Yeah, it was funny when I was like, wait, that sounds familiar. Wait, that's Leonard Nimoy.
Oh my.
Oh my.
Good news, anyone?
Oh, we do have some good news. Well, actually, this is... how come I always get these clips mixed up? That's not even good news. It's bad news.
It is bad news.
The real-life inspiration for the Super Friends Hall of Justice is in danger. Let's go there.
Meanwhile, in the Hall of Justice bathroom...
Wait, what's happening in the Hall of Justice bathroom? Is Jan in the form of a toilet bowl or something?
He's Jan feeling, in the foiler, form of toilet water.
Yeah, he's feeling a little blue because they put Tidy Bowl in again.
Oh! That just cost us our last listener right there.
And the monkey
this
decided
toilet
to
water
use
smells
it.
Kind of floral. Oh, it's perfume.
Oh. What were you saying about Gleek?
Gleek decided to use the toilet at that time.
he just flings his poo.
Yeah. Moving right along.
Yeah, that's the... Okay.
All right. This is a story about the Queen City's Union Terminal in Cincinnati. The building was built in 1933 and has seen some seasonable weather, but it's in danger of being torn down because it's in such sad shape. Now, they need to raise something like $212 million to do necessary repairs. If they don't, It'll get torn down. This building may look familiar to those who follow the show notes link, because it was the inspiration for the Hall of Justice, which is surprisingly similar.
It is.
I had no idea it was a real place.
Well, it's in Cincinnati. I mean, nobody knows about it. That's why.
Oh. I didn't know it could technically be, it was inspired for a real building. That's what I'm getting.
Oh, yeah. It's got the main arch where the Hall of Justice says Hall of Justice. And mm-hmm. it also has the two vertical columns in the middle, yeah. and the other supporting vertical columns. I'm very surprising resemblance here.
So. Well, I pulled up some real pictures of it like today, and there's like a big fountain out front, just like the one in the cartoon.
Oh, really?
Wow. No kidding.
Does it have that amber statue thing looking at it?
No, right in the middle is the fountain flowing up, but it has like a several tiered waterfall kind of thing in the front. So yeah, you have to go look at it.
Did you see the invisible jet?
It's parked out back. I didn't see that.
Oh. Then how do you know it's parked out back?
Well, yeah, you gotta ask Wonder Woman that. I don't kiss
She left the keys in it.
Oh. I don't kiss and tell.
Why are these keys hovering in the midair?
Clonk. Ah, my head. Would you park that thing somewhere else? There's a whole sketch behind that, isn't there?
Somebody's tights were hanging out the window of the jet.
We're not going to go there.
Blue, black, what color? Never mind. All right. Craig, I believe you found this story, so would you take the next one?
Yes. And it looks like space whiskey safely returned to Earth. Thank the gods. So back in 2001, a group of alcoholics masquerading as scientists managed somehow.
That happens every day.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Normally, alcoholics pose as podcasters. Look at us. I mean, really.
Right. Well, they managed to somehow persuade their bosses that sending a very small vials of whiskey into space was a viable experiment. So 4 years on, the whiskey has eluded the clutches of the ISS astronauts. This was a deleted scene from Gravity.
Yeah. There it goes, just out of reach.
So the idea behind the experiment, a collaboration between the U.S.-based space research firm NanoRacks. Sounds like a porn based in space.
Yeah, that's too easy.
Way too simple.
And the Aardberg Distillery was to send a few vials of terpenes into space and see how they interact with charred oak and microgravity. I'm sorry. I've seen some experiments with some homebrew stuff, but this this beats all. So
can you see him pitching this? So what we want to do is we want to like send whiskey into space.
It's like cool, man.
It'll be awesome.
My son's got a model rocket kit. Dad, what are you doing? So long, whiskey.
I hope you didn't use that for the fuel.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So let's see. The vials are currently in Kazakhstan. I guess they were returned, and where they'll be taken back to the lab in Houston and thoroughly analyzed.
How? By drinking it?
Right. Tastes good.
Yeah. It worked.
Done.
It worked. And hopefully not just drunk, but by unscrupulous hands.
Someone always ruins it.
I have a question, Craig. Where is Kazakhstan? Is it right next to Kazakhstan, maybe?
What's his name from there?
I just had to ask because I'm not sure where it was.
Ben's having a Sam attack.
Who let the sand people in here, Chuck? Oh my, I've killed Ben.
Isn't that where Borat's from?
Oh dear.
Okay, I wasn't sure, Craig. Thanks
for
clearing
that. It's where Borat's from, man. Borat's from there.
We need our ombudsman or whatever it's called.
Ombudsman. We need an editor.
Editor, yeah, we need something.
Professionalism would work.
Welcome, first time listener.
Yes.
That hurts coming from me.
Wow. I'm sorry, Craig, please continue with the end of your story.
Oh, I'm done.
Oh, I am.
I'll finish it up.
Okay.
It's actually, they have some typos. If you read in the comments, they got flamed because they spelled whiskey with an E, which isn't perfect. And it's not Aardberg Distillery twice in here. It's at Aardberg.
There's an extra R in there.
Yeah, even on the bottle, it says that. So,
yeah,
whoever wrote this for Gizmodo did a very poor job.
Maybe
they found the vials.
So anyway, If everything goes to plan, Ardbeg's chief whiskey scientist, Dr. How do you chief whiskey scientist?
I want that job.
Me too.
Dr. Bill Lumsden will be releasing a white paper on the proceedings in due course. I look forward with bated and probably boozy breath.
Indeed.
Yeah, we took that one to the cleaners, didn't
we? Yeah, and then some.
You know, this reminds me of, what was it, the pitch? And did y'all see George Lucas in Love?
Oh, yeah.
Space oats.
Oh, yeah, space oats.
Whiskey. Yeah, there you go.
Space whiskey. We have a listener birthday calendar, and it is time to turn to that calendar and wish our faithful listeners and those of you who are brave enough to put your name on a calendar. We do not distribute this for any commercial purposes whatsoever. I don't think I've ever used that disclaimer. What's that?
Except for our own.
As far as you know. November 5th is Michael Corlett from New Zealand. Happy birthday to you. November 8th has two birthdays. Mark the Encaffeinated One of The Weird Show. Should have put his promo on here today. Maybe I'll switch that around before I get to the next break, which is right after this. Good luck with that, Charles. And also November 8th is On the Drift. November 10th is John Noble from The Island. Not from Fringe or from Sleepy Hollow.
From the
island.
But
he's from the island.
He's got his own island.
Maybe.
Which island?
Yeah.
The Island. Wasn't there a show called The Island?
There was.
Or a Stephen King book or something?
There was a show, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Shudder. Yeah, it was a show, yeah.
Every time his birthday comes up, I think of the actor, but we're probably not that fortunate to have celebrity listeners. Well, you never know. We can always pay
John Noble, the actor?
Yeah, pay Will Wheaton. So we have, it's break time. Smoke them if you got them. We're going to take a real quick break, and we will be back with what does a comet smell like? Of course, you know where we're going with that.
Cleanser?
The captain's log.
Oh.
Be right back.
If you're having trouble sleeping, Celestica is the all-natural nighttime sleep aid that helps more people get the rest they need. If you're taking other medication, see your doctor before using Celestica. Celestica should not be taken with alcohol. Women who are pregnant, have been pregnant, expect to be pregnant, or know someone who is pregnant should not handle Celestica. Celestica is not recommended for children under the age of 81, senior citizens, or farm animals. Side effects may include dizziness, vomiting, or desire to watch science fiction movies. You may start singing random Star Trek themes and think you are a better singer than you actually are. Celestica is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Unlike other sleep aids, drowsiness is not a side effect of Celestica. Celestica will combust instantly in an environment containing oxygen. Ask your doctor if Celestica is right for you. From the Pharmacy of Technorama.
Answers to What is the Weird Show? Take one.
It's a weird weekly audio show available for free.
It's about an hour long.
It seems longer.
You understand it's free. This is very important. You understand this, right? Free.
And it's still available at theweirdshow.com.
Did you catch what I said earlier about it being free?
The mundane media covers all that can be known. The Weird Show covers the rest.
Okay.
Hey, I kind of like that. Weird news, strange ideas, odd views. TheWeirdShow.com.
This is David Levy, amateur astronomer, lover of the night sky, and comet discoverer. You are listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
I think I got Brian. I was fumbling with something here at the studio, and I said, love those cat-like reflexes.
I don't remember. I can't.
Oh, that's Superman the movie.
Oh, yeah, yes!
Lex Luthor says that
to Otis.
To Otis.
Yep. When he bumps and knocks,
knocks the lamp over.
Are we going to Addis Ababa, Mr. Luthor? I wonder what they're wearing in Addis Ababa this time of year.
Looks like a burnoose.
Bingo!
I love this guy.
Well, you've seen Superman way more than I have.
No, sure. My brother and I just quote that way too much.
I love that movie.
We have hats and strange stories. And of course, one of our strange stories has to be about something that smells like it. Well, Brian, that sounds like your intro.
It smells like me.
We've gone through space oats, space whiskey, and now space turds.
No, you gave it away.
God.
Oh, spoiler.
Remember the Rosetta Comet? It's the European Space Agency mission, to probe onto the comet 67P.
Emphasis on P.
How
can we not forget?
Fortuitous and, yes, foreshadowing. It basically observed as it passed around the sun. As the object warmed, it began to emit gases, much like Craig. Using a pair of mass spectrometers.
What?
Tell us what the comet is made of, and more importantly, what the comet smells like.
Hey, I got news for you. I don't need any sun.
The ESA already knew that it would see methanes, of course.
Yum.
Methanol and ammonia.
Mm-hmm.
Menthol. And can you imagine?
Menthol.
Menthol.
No, but they're surprised to see hydrogen sulfide, hydrogen cyanide. Ooh, yummy. And sulfur dioxide.
So it's like Yellowstone.
Yeah, pretty much. If you were stand on the comet, take a deep breath, and you hadn't already died from the cyanide portion of that, you enjoy the heady mix of horse crap, rotten eggs, and vinegar.
Where can I, as a earthbound resident, go to get a similar smell of
sounds like this? Your kitchen. Guess go what? Mix some things from all the chemicals, and there you go.
Yeah, so, you know, if you ever wanted to recreate the experiments of standing atop Comet 67P... as it hurls around the sun, all you had to do is stand outside your local nightclub.
I was going to say, just go to the cafeteria where I work.
Yeah, I was going to say, on Taco Tuesday.
Yes.
Wet burnt cigarettes.
Yes, it can be O to 67P. I think we have a new cologne I think we have to make. Yes. Like for the person who has everything except the sense of smell. That would be definitely the tagline for it.
Cologne
for Christmas.
Yeah. What's that smell? What's that enchanting smell, Craig?
You just call it Rosetta. It would sound really good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would sell. And people are like,
sorry, it's methanol and ammonia.
It has turned.
Rosetta.
It has turned.
Did you not try the pistachio?
Yeah, it has turned.
Can you imagine the guy that's sitting there, people who randomly spray stuff in the perfume thing? Oh my God!
Dude, yeah, go! Stand outside the Macy's doing that.
Would you like a sample of cologne?
No!
My eyes, it burns!
When you walk into the Macy's and they squirt you with that stuff, spray them back with this!
Man.
Now we need Farnsworth smelloscope.
Oh. No, that's the kind of stuff he spotted with his smelloscope. It wasn't good.
Remember that that ball of trash that was coming back to Earth?
Oh, yeah.
That's what he was smelling. Come here, fly. I got something for you.
Come here, Fry. I've got something for you.
Good news, Fry.
Bad news, everyone.
Yes.
Ben, I have a story for you. Let's get past this ad.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Okay, here we go.
I need ad block. For crying out.
Right.
Okay, well, working at a call center, well, let's just be honest, it sucks.
No,
it doesn't suck, Brent. Ben,
the hell you say?
Sucks.
It sucks for everyone.
Yeah. So, like it, universally sucks. Everybody knows it. So, what makes the story of the local New York City employee who was just suspended for 20 days for allegedly answering incoming calls with a robot voice so frustrating? Come on, guys. Let the board employees have a little bit of fun.
Borg employees?
Borg. I'm sorry. You shall be assimilated. The call center worker, a Brooklyn native named Robert Dillon, said he was just trying to do his job well. The city's health department, where Dillon has worked since 1976 without a single disciplinary problem,
argues that the employee was speaking to customers in a slow, monotonous, and over-enunciated manner.
It's probably licking muster.
Well, yeah, I mean, it sucks. So you probably have lost several brain cells because, you know, hey, that's how robots talk, I guess.
After 30 years, this is...
That's all
you
got left.
40 years? Was he on the call center since 76? I'm surprised he got that far with his sanity
I'm
intact.
Surprised he got
surprised
there for
he didn't
a whole
bring
week.
A machine gun to work.
Yeah. Well, this may have been partially true. Because one concerned citizen did call in to say that a new automated answering system had hung up when she heard the robot answer the phone because she needed to speak to a human about her issues. Dylan, the employee who answered the call, is definitely a human. He is also a human who says he was just following orders. They objected to the tone of my voice, so I made it atonal. He said, that's not atonal.
No, you said it all wrong. He said, they objected to my voice,
so I made it.
No, read on. You'll find out why he
was... Well, the
was...
judge explained further in her decision. Dylan contended that he articulates each word because he speaks fast and has a Brooklyn accent, which is sometimes difficult to understand.
Sometimes?
I'm going to live in Brooklyn for over 5 years. I can confirm this fact is true.
Click the F1 key. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, forget about it.
Adrian. Yeah. Oh, wait, that's different.
Wrong. Yeah,
no. Not quite. But the accent can be tough, yes. Nevertheless, the judge ultimately decided that Dylan was just another disgruntled employee and ruled that he had received a 31-day suspension. That's harsh. That was later reduced to only 20 days.
For good robotic behavior.
Yes. All that said, only one can wonder how long it will take the health department to fire all of its human employees and replace them with robots, because that sort of thing really is happening these days.
Wow.
Greetings, madam. I would like to take your order.
Thank you for calling the Brooklyn City Department of Environmental Quality. Please. Press 1 for...
thank you for calling the Brooklyn City of Health Department.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's all patched together.
Exactly.
I had to watch a training video like that once, and every time they came across the term ITIL, yeah. Which most people say ITIL, it was patched in with somebody else's voice.
ITIL.
No, it was really bad. So, following the processes of ITIL, it was so distracting I couldn't get through the video.
I'm sorry, I missed every bit of that presentation. I was too busy listening to the voice.
It was awful. Yeah.
You know what's funny? I saw an app the other day, and it's designed to help you get through the phone systems and talk to somebody. It will call, navigate through the menus, be on hold until somebody calls, and then it'll connect you.
Will it find out how actually works to get to a person?
Yes, it'll navigate the menu because they've got people have done it and they've they know the menuing systems for all these companies. So it'll navigate through there, wait on hold for you, and then can call you and connect you up when somebody comes online. So I started thinking, well, that's like technology trying to fix technology. You got some these automated systems to save them money, then you got these automated systems to call and talk through it. Why don't they just talk to somebody for 2 minutes and then everybody can go away?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's crazy. That is crazy talk, Craig.
I know.
Innovative.
Speaking of crazy talk.
Out of the box.
No, we already did that. Stop, Lenny. Lenny wanted another crack at it. There we go. Doesn't that music just make you feel happy?
I want to iron.
We have definitive proof that Nostradamus predicted Star Wars.
What?
The heck you say? What? Yes. What? The prophecies of French astrologer Nostradamus remain famous more than 400 years after his death. He has been credited for predicting events like the French Revolution and World War II, but after careful scrutiny, we at Technorama have proof that his prophecies were in fact plot spoilers for the Star Wars film.
No
we
way.
Do? I mean, we do.
He's one of your staff writers. Just admit it, Chuck.
Yeah. You got him stuffed in a closet.
Yeah.
You need another quatrain this week? All right, here's one of his prophecies. The wretched, unfortunate Republic will again be ruined by a new authority.
Spoiler!
Which, if you translate the quote, it says, undermined by corruption and bureaucracy, Finis Valorum, the Supreme Chancellor of the Galactic Republic, is removed from office through a vote of no confidence and replaced by Senator Palpatine, who is secretly... Oh, wait. Spoiler alert on that one. Darth Sidious. Okay? Yes. We have... There are many, many, many more. Here's one you can probably figure out. The nautical frog in its bosom be agreement.
Misa, like this one?
Misa don't know what this one's about. We too, Misa stupid.
All right. And
shut
let's just...
Misa up.
The leader flees, hidden in the swampy marshes.
Hidden where I am?
Seek you will, find you will not.
The unhappy abandoned one will die of grief. Padme, perhaps?
Maybe.
Sooner and later...
And later.
Sooner and later, you will see great changes made, dreadful horrors and vengeances. For as the moon is thus led by its angel, the heavens draw near to the balance.
That's no
see,
moon.
See, I thought it was predicting Iron Sky.
are many, many, many more of them in here. The blonde one will come to compromise the forked-nosed one through the duel.
Oh, that's clear.
Luke and Vader, yeah, huh? Maybe. It doesn't say anything in here about the fork-nosed one will say, no!
Oh, man.
So.
There are lots of them.
Yeah, there are a ton. We're not going to go into every one of them.
I wish you would have predicted Jar Jar. We would have known ahead of time and just avoided the whole thing.
Suck will be the first episode.
Yeah.
No, something like that.
Anything in there about midichlorians, Mel?
First episode.
Yeah.
First, which one is it? I don't know.
Dreams will be destroyed by the bearded one.
Childhoods.
And his childhoods will be destroyed.
Yes. And his cadre of editors.
Oh, my.
Thank you, sir. Craig, you found something interesting here. The Windows version that never was.
Yes. So... Over at fastcodedesigns.com, I have an article about the Windows 93 experience.
93. I like how you say that, experience, because when you look at this, it feels like you're watching a Jimi Hendrix
experience, all right. So here you go.
David Bowie video or something.
There you go. So somewhere between Windows 3.1 and Windows 95 lives this very odd and very funny art project that you can try on your own browser. And then you can actually come down and you can actually try it. There's a whole link right there.
Yes, there's a try it link.
Yeah, the experience of the OS is hard to put into words. It's Windows imagined in some parallel universe with plenty of retro homages and weird OS quirks of yore. The hard drive defragger comes with a funky MIDI.
So it is. There's like no drivers either.
Oh, wow. Oh, my word.
Oh, you got it right there.
Oh, that's okay.
Achievement unlocked.
Right? So they play this crazy music, and the first thing I click on is this thing called Glitch. Where is it?
Glitch.
it was just the wrong thing to start with. Where did I see that?
Core Glitch? It looks like a corgi.
Where? Acid Box? Or
up one more.
Yeah, up. Yep. It's next to Yoda.
Right there.
No, I don't think that was it.
It says Core Glitch.
Yeah, that's it.
Love it, and
then the video goes nuts. Man. Like your monitor cable's not quite plugged in right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Well, how do you stop it? Because there's nothing on the start bar.
I even like the little boot up sequence. You know, it looks like it's coming up or something.
I thought this Skype spelled with a Z, which looks like it's from the Bizarro world or something.
Yeah.
I thought this was fun. This would make a great song. I want to put some lyrics to this.
Hey, it says achievement unlocked. More than 3 million people have visited this page.
Oh, I think I might have to call this person. Here we go. Play. Oh, I'd made some great music before. Now it's going to ruin my whole example. Maybe my audio drivers aren't working.
That's really impressive, Chuck.
Shut up.
Shut up, you guys.
What just start clicking everything. It had just about every Skype tone in there.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, it's cool, though. I mean, I like the way they really put it together. It looks, I don't know, like it came from the early 90s.
It's pretty cool.
And the animations are really cheesy, like you'd expect. Here we go. Wait for it. Wait. It gets better. It shows this cassette rolling around like an old answering machine. But every once in a while it goes...
Of course, just like the cassette.
Put a drum beat behind that, yeah. Right?
Where's the bass drop?
Oh, you get the idea. Hey, Windows 93.
Hey, you know what I should do is go to my son's Mac and pull this up and do full screen.
Oh, yeah. Leave it there.
Just leave it there.
I like that.
Dad, what'd you do?
I upgraded your operating system to
8.1.
So,
8.1.
No. That's what we heard the Vader know from the.
Look, I got they realized that old, went to Windows 93. I hope it works for you, son.
The tile thing just didn't work out.
Wait a minute. There's a virtual girl on here. Maybe I don't want to put that on this computer.
No, she stands in the corner. Nothing happens. Son, I tried.
And son, we decided to get rid of broadband. We got dial-up.
Oh, this is like love that. Exactly. Yeah. This is like an early
series. 2400 baud.
2400 baud.
No, no, son. 300 for him.
You have to start where I started.
Yep.
That's funny.
Brian.
Chuck.
Who is Major Inupac?
In the heyday of American love affair with space travel, there were a few products that weren't tied somehow into rockets and astronauts.
True.
One of those was Inupac, an unfortunately named Ovaltine wannabe.
Why is that unfortunate?
I don't know. Not necessarily, because Ovaltine was a superior product.
Right. So what's wrong with Inupac?
This is like the generic version. You know, it's like getting generic cereal in the bag.
Oh.
It's like Hydrox versus Oreos, I guess.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
So jumping in the bandwagon with both feet in, it came up with the... synonymous or eponymous Major Inupac, the space ace, to show all the junior space boys and space girls how the invention of its products were on par with that of the wheel, electrical lights, and the atom bomb.
Right.
You know, look at that, wheel, electric lights, atom bomb. I like that.
That's a good comparison.
Yeah. And it did through a fairly astonishing comic book illustrated by industry vet Bob Powell. And my eyes are working really great tonight. Probably best known for his works on Sheena and Mr. Mystic, which I both know those. The story opens on June 2nd, 2031.
I'm marking my calendar now.
Yeah. With old master rocketeer spinning yarns to a gaggle of enthralled kids. Back in my day.
It is. There are some totally waves on here.
Yeah. After reminiscing about the first lunar landing in 1984.
They were close.
Yes.
off by about 20 years.
Slightly off.
At about the same time, the Cold War had escalated open nuclear hostilities. The kids are told how a manned lunar mission is inspired by the discovery of radio signals broadcast from the moon.
That was the whalers on the moon.
Yeah.
I still think it's Nazis.
Fortunately, we had, a flotilla of ready-made spaceships to fight the Nazis. At hand in the form of America's mighty arsenal of intercontinental missiles. You know, we can just put a space capsule on those instead of the atom, you know, bomb that's on top of them now.
Hey, that's a great idea. We could do that.
Yeah, why not? Sure, you know, a little bit of residual radiation. Big deal. someone comes up with a bright idea that if you substitute the fuel tanks for the warhead, there you go, add a central control cabin, one of the rockets could be sent to the moon.
Wait a minute. What year was this?
19.
No, that this came out.
It doesn't say when it came out, really. That's and the thing.
Okay.
I would imagine it looks like maybe 40s?
Was he precluding 50s? Werner von Braun?
It could even be 60s.
Maybe. I mean,
okay. Pretty cheesy artwork.
I'm wondering if he did this based on von Braun's work or
if
he was somehow psychedelic.
Well, basically what happens is somebody ends up decoding the message that basically says, you know, destroy Earth. So who do they send? Major Inupac. So he's, you know, he's hero worshipped by most of the free world, by no one so much as little orphan Robin, who is prone to saying things like jumping ramjets when excited. Yeah.
I like some of these panels.
I don't know.
And off she went as pretty a takeoff as you ever did see.
Excuse me, old Master Rocketeer, but I thought this was a story about the lunar ships. So far, you haven't even mentioned him. Or lunar chip. You haven't even mentioned him.
Yeah, come on.
I was just getting to him. About the time Majorina Bag took off, this is what he was taking. This was taking place on the moon.
Chip.
They've got this Gollum character who's about to chew his way through a coax.
You know, I saw this and I kept thinking of the monkey from Lost in Space.
Yes.
Sadly, yes.
Yeah, or Gleep or whatever the sidekick is of the time.
Well,
yeah.
Young sirs and lady, that curious imp lunar chip took a bite out of that mysterious coaxial cable that sliced it in two, and I can just picture the yell that old rock still let out.
Who? He bent through that cable and broke our Ethernet.
Rocksteel, the boogeyman mommy scares me with when I'm bad.
Is that real?
Oh, I can see we could do a whole serial with this one, Chuck.
We should go find it and actually record it
as a whole podcast in itself.
What I have to wonder is, I keep hearing about this Major Inipak, and I have to keep wondering, is that Brett's secret identity?
Yeah, it might be. I don't know.
Wait, well, truthfully, when I found this article, I saw Space Ace, and I was looking for Dexter and Borf.
I was looking for Kiss.
With a flying V guitar.
Oh. Wow, this jumping 40 feet at each step is fun. Isn't there any gravity here?
Yes, sir.
Yes, but it's very low.
Yeah, it's almost like a Johnny Quest-ish.
It feels like it, yeah.
Yeah. But I imagine it's got to be in like the 40s. Well,
there is a cover. There is a cover artwork. I wonder if there's actually a date on there.
Maybe. Let's expand that. Cover.
Number one.
Well, which is better than being number two.
Yeah.
Hey, we're back to the pee metaphors. To the bathrooms. Yeah.
I sense a meme.
Craig, you missed it before the show. I have one more Star Trek 7. Generations poster to put up in the house somewhere, and it happens to be the one that I figured would probably go in the bathroom because it says boldly go.
That's it. Oh yeah.
All you need.
Finally. Oh hey, Craig, you added something at the end because we got.
I already had something in there, but it was
the geek library.
Yes.
All right. Well, I threw one in here also. Let's find out if you're dead or not, because in 1848. They thought of some grand ideas that were real. 1848, they found they made a competition to find the best method for checking whether or not someone is dead. And suggestions.
Hey, The fourth one on the right hand side, forget it.
I'll forget that one.
Yes. Would you like to start with the winner?
There's a couple of them that are just lovely.
Okay. We will start with red hot poker up the anus.
Followed right by take their temperature with a thermometer and a pipe, of course, also in the anal region. Mm-hmm.
Stick needles under their toenails.
Oh my gosh. Stick a flag into the heart and see if it waves.
How patriotic.
No, but I've discovered America.
What was that, Craig?
I named this body in the name of
the queen.
Yeah. I claim this body, yes.
I pinch the nipples with large pincers.
Sounds like Saturday night at your house, Craig.
Put a crawling insect in their ear like Khan.
Pull her tongue for 3 hours.
Hey, out of all of these things, tickle the nose with a feather.
Oh, okay.
Or shout in their ear.
Or, of course, the favorite, pour vinegar or urine
into their mouth.
Either is acceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. What was the winner?
The winning suggestion. Check their heart with a stethoscope, you moron, before you plant the flag.
What is this, like hillbilly medicine? They're out in the middle of nowhere. Hey, man, what should we do? Well, I think we ought to take their temperature with this air thermometer and a pipe.
I got this list.
Yeah.
Let's consult the list.
Or it's like this little village in the middle of nowhere in the middle of Europe, you know.
They didn't get much further when Abraham Lincoln was shot. Apparently they didn't have this list anymore, but they did stick like probes and things in his brain.
Oh.
Yeah, it was not a good time to be sick. I can just imagine the Civil War battlefield surgeries that went on.
Put a crawling insect in their ear. But Khan, listen to me, Khan. No.
He put things in our bodies
to control our minds.
Said the Alpha 6.
Listen to me. Yeah.
Well, Craig, since you put this one in at the last minute, go for it.
Okay.
I had to put this in here because anybody that listens to this show would certainly appreciate this. The Internet Archive, which if you're not familiar with it, they pretty much back up the internet. There's web pages from years back, all kinds of stuff. Well, this is the Internet Archive. You can actually play these video games on their website through the web browser plugin type thing. But there's things like Berserk,
Three Stooges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all these video games they put on here to archive really the experience of these video games. So you can go and play any of these.
Oh my gosh!
And there is a bunch of them. And there's a lot of good ones. There's Super Pac-Man.
Burger Time,
Super Zaxxon.
Carnival. Keeper. Carnival was dumb. Lame.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess they've got the permission to put these on here because it's the
Internet Bongo Archive. Bongo.
Now, wait, what about like the game controllers? Like Defender, I mean, you'd have to have a joystick, but you'd also have to have like the right button controllers. Keyboard.
They'll tell you which keyboard keys to use. I think you can even use a game pad if you had it hooked up.
Go find me one of those softball sized trackballs for Missile Command.
Why should I go look for you for one?
Because you brought it up.
I brought it up. Well.
Wow. Oh my gosh. You know who would love this?
Who?
Oh look, there's Dig Dug. He used to play that. Summer. She used to have like a whole collection of stand up arcade games.
Definitely did.
Wow.
Wow. The best part about it is now you can basically make yourself a MAME emulator and put it in a cabinet.
Yeah probably.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's... Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can certainly do that. Well, if you go to one, like here, I'm looking at Burger King. There's a screenshot on the side, and it says run on an in-browser emulation, and you click on the run, and it'll come right up.
I want some of the sound bites out of these games.
No kidding. And,
by the way, this does use MAME.
Oh, yeah. I figured it probably did.
Mm-hmm. I want some of the sound bites. Bagman was one of my favorites for sound bites because this guy would be running through the mine. No, he goes,
oh yeah.
And then you could grab the rafters and haul yourself up as the car went by. And when you haul yourself up, he'd go, ooh-wee. And as soon as he let himself down, it was, eh, hopla.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Is this French or something that I don't know anything about?
Yeah, probably.
And then he'd get hit by one of these cars or one of the bad guys, and you'd hear, oh, yeah, really?
Yep.
It's like, what are you doing? What did he say? He's drunk. He's drunk.
Yeah. So they said one of the things to remember is that five is an insert coin, and you know one or two is to play one or two players.
And they give
you a rundown on the instructions on how to play it.
So it's at archive.org/details/internet-arcade. Mm-hmm. And this is a very long list of games. If you can't find your favorite in here, you're not looking.
Yeah, definitely.
They're Super in alphabetical Zaxxon. Order.
Wow. There's Star Trek. Sega Star Trek.
There's oh, man, you know what? Welcome I used to aboard, play that Captain. All the time.
Mm-hmm.
In the sit-down version.
Yep.
Tron. Wow.
Well, there you go. Waste.
More sound bites in Tron. I want that, too.
Yeah, there's some good ones there.
You know what? I owned that Tron game, literally. I mean, I could take anybody.
No, if you literally owned it, and then you had the license to it, and you had it in your house. I
figuratively owned it.
Right, there, see.
I could beat anybody.
You owned it with a P, right?
Yeah, I'm putting that out there just in case anybody wants to challenge me. I probably still got it.
Thank you, sir. That's a lot of fun. I'm going to have to try and find some of these and play them online.
Now, hey, the problem with the Tron game, trying to play Tron through MAME, is that you can use the mouse as the spinner. There was a spinner on there and a joystick, so you can use the keyboard and the mouse. It kind of works. It's a little difficult when you get to the tanks, it's hard to play the tanks.
You
on
have to play the joystick, and the only way to play Battlezone was with two joysticks.
Mm-hmm, definitely, yes.
You cannot play that any other way.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for the trip down memory lane.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun right there. Yeah.
And thank you, Ben. Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
We'll see you again or hear from you again real soon.
Chuck, good thing I don't have any meetings tomorrow. I can play this all day long.
Back to the basement. Okay. All right, I'm going back in the closet.
I'm going back to the basement, where they came from.
Hey, once you let it out of the closet, you can't put it back.
Oh.
Okay, comparing me to Pandora?
Sure.
Thank you, lovely listener. If you want to get in touch with us, it's 206-222-2428, 206-222-CHAT. That's a U.S. number. If you don't have whatever that number is in the U.S., if you don't have a telephone, you should try emailing us. You could even send us a recording like Mad Marv does once in a while. Technorama@chuckchat.com. We would love to hear from you. You can also just send us a Facebook message, or we'll read it. You get in touch with us. All the ways to contact us are on the website at chuckchat.com/technorama. We are coming up on our 10th anniversary.
Woohoo!
Very, very soon. We're going to have to think of something special for that. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And as always, a binary high five.
Wait, what's special coming up? Oh, well, we'll talk about it later. 101!
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.